Good morning. Sorry, this message has taken a while to get here. But it's probably a good message. It's certainly something God has been dealing with me over the last couple of weeks about. I've entitled my message, God's Timing. In Isaiah 40, verse 31, it clearly tells us the benefit of waiting for God. It says, "Yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary." And that word there that's used for wait for the Lord really means to wait in hope, wait believing that God is going to do something. It means to wait expectantly. And the form of the verb tells us that it's not just those who wait once, but those who are continuously waiting. So the verse tells us that we must wait, trusting God and trusting that he will act. This is not just passive waiting around, it is waiting in hope of God's intervention. It means keep on waiting, believing that God is able to make some changes in us or in our situations that will bring about benefit for us. And it tells us that indeed there is benefit to that kind of waiting. If we are patient and waiting for God's timing, then we will be able to do all that he has planned for us without getting weary or fainting or giving up. The problem most of us have is that we're not patient enough. We take things into our own hands because we think that God is too slow. I'll give you some examples of this. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 8 to 13, we read about how Saul was waiting to make the sacrifice that was required before he went into battle. He was waiting for Samuel to come. And I'm not going to read the whole passage, but if we just look in verse 10, it says, "And it came about as soon as he finished offering the burnt offering, that behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him." Saul only needed to wait just a little longer. As soon as he made the sacrifice, Samuel arrived. If he had just been patient for a few more minutes, things would have been all right. But he gave up waiting and decided to do something that God had specifically commanded him not to do. What he was doing seemed okay. He was making sacrifice to God. We might ask, isn't that a good thing? Well, not in this case, because he was not qualified to make that sacrifice. He was king and not priest. We can do what seems to be right, but if we do it at the wrong time, we will bring trouble instead of blessing. Our problem is that we cannot see the rest of God's plan. We can only see the part that we are involved in. It means we have limited vision. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God has a plan and a timetable, and he's doing things exactly according to his plan. He knows the right time to do things, and he's able to communicate that to us. God's plan involves the salvation of as many people as possible. So sometimes when we think God is being slow, it is just because by waiting a little longer, we can see someone else come into God's kingdom. However, when things need to happen quickly, God is perfectly well able to communicate that to us as well. When the Israelites were crossing the Red Sea, God gave Moses the instructions and there were split-second timing involved. Moses and the Israelites obeyed. They got into the water. They got on the way. And when they got out, as soon as they got out, the sea closed over the Egyptians who were pursuing them. The timing was very important. If they had gone too fast and the sea had closed before Pharaoh's army entered it, then the army would have survived and could have gone around the northern end of the sea and caught the Israelites in the wilderness. But God's plan was to save the Israelites and destroy Pharaoh's army at the same time, so he had it perfectly timed. The Egyptian army was close enough to the Israelites to encourage them to keep on trying to catch up, but far enough away that they never did actually catch up. That is precision timing. There were probably about 3 million Israelites altogether, plus all their sheep, goats, and cattle. For God to keep that many people on the move and all together and to protect them, in this way involved incredible timing. They went into the sea at night and were on dry land all the way, and in the morning, when the last one stepped out onto the other side, Pharaoh's army was already in the middle of the sea with no way of getting out quickly. God stopped the wind from blowing the sea back for the Israelites, and Pharaoh's army was drowned. Let me give you another example from my own experience. I think you might have heard this from me before, but I was sitting in church one evening and I noticed a young lady who came and sat just across the aisle from me. She was all alone. I knew who she was. Her parents came to the church, but she was a lot younger than me. In fact, she was only a teenager. I was old enough to be her parent, actually. When she arrived, I suddenly had the impression that I should go and sit next to her, but I resisted, wondering what she would think of someone so much older than her joining her. And I thought she might prefer a younger person for company. However, the impression became so strong that in the end, I just moved across the aisle and sat beside her. I felt a little bit foolish, but I thought even if it was just my idea and not the Holy Spirit, then it wouldn't do any harm. She didn't make any comment or show in any way that my presence was of any interest to her, so I just sat there until the end of the service. But after the service was finished, she turned to me and said, "Thank you for coming and sitting beside me. Some Mormon people have been making friends with me, and I've been thinking about leaving the church and joining them because they are so friendly, and nobody here seems to care about me. I told God tonight that I would give the church one last chance by coming tonight, and if nobody greeted me or was friendly to me, then I would never come back." I was so shocked to think that I could have ignored the Holy Spirit's prodding and this girl would have left the church forever. But you know, God is able to communicate to us when something is important. He did not allow me to sit in my seat and ignore her, even though I could not imagine why it was important for me to move. When something is that important, God will make it plain and keep on prodding us until we do what he is asking, because he is not willing that any should perish. God can make it plain to us when the timing is urgent or vital in a situation. We can and should do things when God gives us that urgency. But there are other times when God's plan is unfolding more slowly. He seems to be holding us back and asking us to wait. For example, in Acts chapter 16, we read that Paul was prevented from going into Asia. He was told not to go. And then in Acts chapter 19, we read that all of Asia was reached with the gospel from Ephesus. Now, there's at least 18 months between those two passages. Paul was told not to go into Asia because God had a plan for Asia to hear the message from others later and in a different way. You see, it is not just what we do, but when we do it that is important. And the vital element is knowing the right time. Another example from the Bible, in Genesis chapter 15, God promised to Abraham that the Israelites would be slaves in another land, and he even gave the timing. When the time came, God raised up Moses and brought the Israelites out of Egypt as he had promised. God's plan was not to torture or punish the Israelites, but to bless them. Even though they suffered under the slavery in Egypt, they also greatly increased. Only 70 persons went down to Egypt, but about 3 million came out from there. God had already decreed that it would take 400 years, and he allowed that time to pass to give the inhabitants of the land of Canaan time to show that they were completely given over to idolatry. God was patient, waiting to see if the Canaanites would repent. But of course he knew they would not, and he knew how long to wait. The Israelites were in Egypt, growing in number, and the inhabitants in the promised land were in the land, growing in wickedness. When the time was right, God moved. When the Israelites were sufficiently large in number, and the Canaanite wickedness could no longer be tolerated, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. But the Israelites didn't believe in God's ability to overcome their enemies. So they rebelled against God's plan and they had to wait another generation in the wilderness. God kept them there, working in them to bring about faith. And when they were sufficiently convinced of God's ability to work for them, he took them into the land and they were victorious. God's timing is perfect, you see. We don't know the whole of God's plan, so we must wait for his instructions and do things in his time. When with the Israelites, God was waiting for the Canaanite wickedness to reach its limit. And then he was waiting for the Israelites' faith to grow. He fulfilled his promises when both were ready. In my own life, I have experienced the delay of God's promises. In 1979, he spoke into my heart three words, International Teaching Ministry. But it didn't actually happen until 1996. God had things to work out in my life, and he made it clear to me that I should not rush off and try and do what he had promised by myself, but that I should wait for him to do it. I waited so long, in fact, that I forgot what he had said, until he reminded me of it, because he had achieved what he wanted to do. He still did it. I joined the faculty at APTS and was indeed involved in an international teaching ministry. We have to wait for God's timing, because we do not know all of what God is doing. We only know a small bit, the bit that he tells us. But God's plans are much bigger than just our small lives. We must wait for him. By acting on our own, we can mess up God's plans for our lives and delay the salvation of others. Waiting for God's perfect time develops patience, faith, and character in us. If we will wait, we give God the opportunity to work out things in our lives that will hinder us in the future. Waiting also involves humility. When we wait for God, we are admitting that we don't know everything, and we don't know exactly what God is doing in us and in others around us. We are saying to God, I am prepared to wait for you to do whatever needs to be done to fulfill your plan for my life and for others also. Waiting is part of the process that God uses to develop Christian character, and we should not try to speed up God's process. He is the perfect craftsman, and he is making something excellent out of our lives. We must work with him and wait for him in order to grow into all that he wants us to be. So are you prepared to wait for God this morning? Are you prepared to go when he says go and stop when he says stop? Will you listen carefully to him and wait for his timing in your life so that you can grow into all that he plans for you and you can see God's plan worked out not only in your own life but in the lives of others around you? Let's be people who can patiently and hopefully wait for God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you're not in a hurry, that you have plans that you are working on, and that your plans are perfect and your timing is perfect. And Father, we come and we confess our impatience, and we ask you to help us to grow in patience, that we might always understand that your way and your timing is best, not only for us, but for everybody around us. And so, Lord, we ask for that grace to be patient and to wait for you to work your wonderful work in our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.